This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ty joining our family is something that we're excited about. He's been a priority for us for some time, and a young guy that that we feel fits everything that we're about. From our culture to the style of play, terrific family, comes from a winning pedigree. Ty is one of the most versatile players in this class. I think he can be the best two-way player in this class. You know, it was amazing as we, you know, talked to young people in the recruiting process. The one guy that they always thought was the hardest to score against was Ty Rogers, a young guy that great skill set, great passer, and defensively is just a dog. He's a pit bull when it comes to taking pride in that end. And I've told him all through this recruiting process, he's the guy that I know impacts at an extremely high level. I feel great about that coming to our program.
Why only do one Ty Rogers podcast when you can do two? And that's what we're doing here today on the Illini Inquirer podcast. Welcome in. I'm Illini Inquirer publisher Jeremy Warner. If you missed our emergency podcast, where it was Derek Piper and I reacting immediately within the first hour of Ty Rogers' commitment, and eventually, yes, he did sign a national letter of intent with University of Illinois, a four-star commit, top 60 prospect in the country, vaults Illinois from number 38 in the country to number 18, from number 8 in the Big Ten to number 4 in the Big Ten. So some updated rankings there from our original podcast. But I wanted to talk more about him and get another opinion on him, another evaluation on him, and somebody I've just gotten to know a lot over the last decade covering Illinois basketball, and a lot of misses involved with in-state prospect there, but some big wins as well, is Joe Hendrickson of City Suburban Hoops Report. Joe is a fellow White Sox fan, so I've always had a rapport with him that way, but I've just always appreciated his analysis. He doesn't hold any punches, and I think he just knows what he's talking about because he sees these guys as much as anybody. He talks with people in the industry, coaches, you know, the people around players, the actual prospects, as much as anybody. So I know Joe puts in a ton of work in evaluating, and he's got a great history of evaluating players in state. So over the last couple decades, Joe is just a trusted source up there, and he's done a phenomenal job. You can also read him in the Sun-Times, which I have a subscription to the Sun-Times, and they do a great job with their sports section, especially on the preps, where a lot of people in that town aren't covering preps anymore. So I reached out to Joe, and he was more than willing to talk Ty Rogers, who transferred from Michigan into Illinois. But Joe is a big fan of Ty Rogers and has been since before Ty Rogers transferred into Illinois. So I'll let you hear why Joe is such a big fan of him, what he thinks of this Illinois class, and just in general, overall, what he thinks about Brad Underwood and his staff's recruiting ability over the last several years, and why we've seen an uptick in production on the recruiting trail. So coming up next, he's one of the best in the business, Joe Hendrickson, City Suburban Hoops Report on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together, we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.
Welcome back into the Illini Inquirer podcast, and this is one of my favorite guests to have. Brings so much insight, and is just well-connected, and appreciate his analysis as always. It's Joe Hendrickson, City Suburban Hoops Report. You can follow him on Twitter, at Joe Hoops Report. And Joe, I know one of the guys just got to Chicago, but I've talked to you for about a decade about Illinois recruiting Chicago, and to get two in the same two-week period, pretty nice week for Tim Anderson, the assistant coach that's kind of led this, and Brad Underwood, an Illinois coach.
We're counting the guy that's been here a month. No, I mean, Ty Rogers, obviously, moved from, Michigan to Thornton, and getting him and Merez here. I mean, this is, a big, huge plus for the program, because I wrote about it a little while ago. And no fault of I don't blame Brad Underwood or the staff at all for not heavily bringing in Illinois prospects over his short tenure so far, because one, they branched out on their own, used their ties, and then two, there wasn't this depth of high major talent in Illinois during his time there. So they did what they've had to do in terms of Ayo Dosunmu and Adam Miller, but then there's just so much familiarity over the past four decades of Illinois basketball with high school talent that it's really hard to imagine a really good Illinois program being at its highest level without Illinois talent. And it's unheard of. It's never happened before. So I just think this is a big shot in the arm recruiting-wise back in this state. Even though Ty Rogers has only been here, a short time, he's still, affiliated with Mean Streets. He's still connected to that program, an Illinois-based program. And then Merez is, and in particular, Jeremy, these two guys, I think, before Brad Underwood even came to Illinois, and what we've seen while he's been here, I mean, I just think these two kids fit what he's all about to a T. And in terms of their intangibles, everything they bring to the table as far as a player, a kid, their toughness, the competitiveness. Those two are, Merez could be number one in that class as a player, but more importantly, he might be definitely number one with those characteristics I just mentioned. And then Ty Rogers, I love that kid. And he's a kid I was really high on as an out-of-state kid that you just kind of watch because you're watching Mean Streets, or even if you're just kind of watching him, not paying as much attention to him evaluating-wise. But it's funny, when you see a kid from out-of-state that you fall in love with, you almost go overboard, or I go overboard, yeah, with those types of kids than I do even the in-state kids. And Ty Rogers was that kid in this class.
I got to ask why. Why did you fall? Why'd you fall for Ty Rogers?
A little bit what I just talked about. I think he's all about all the right things. And, he played with big name guys like, AJ Casey and Jalen Washington with that Mean Streets team, and Cam Kraft, the kid originally from Bubble Grove heading to Xavier. And he just kind of fit in with whatever he needed to do, whatever they wanted him to do, he did it. And that's guarding five men. That's guarding point guards. That's guarding on the wing. That's making plays that don't show up in the box score. And then that competitive toughness that I've talked about before, he exudes it. And whether he's diving on the floor or attacking the offensive glass, getting his hands on a ball, whatever it might be, he just played the right way, and he played so hard. And it didn't matter who was watching. Didn't matter if college coaches were in the gym or not, or just you know, regular old AAU game. He was getting after it, competing every single time he steps foot on that floor. And that's what I think Illinois high school basketball fans are going to see at Thornton this year. And then obviously what Illinois is going to get. You know, he's a little rough around the edges in a certain area of his game. You know, his shot has got to get better. His range in particular, his consistency with that shot, and the overall skill level. You know, he's pretty good inside that 15-foot range, along the baseline, off the wing, and he attacks the basket. He's strong, college-ready body, higher-level athlete who could finish and make plays, some the ooh and ah plays that I think can kind of get a team going, get a crowd going. But he still does need to really kind of refine his skill set.
How rare is that, Joe, to bring it every night? I know Brad Underwood, obviously all coaches are looking for that, but you know, when you're in high school playing all these games and AAU games, like how rare is that? Like how often do you find that in kids?
It's becoming more and more rare. And, you know, I think the toughest, I said the word already, but the toughest thing to evaluate is toughness.
Yeah.
And it is real. I mean, they can trick you, they can fool you, they can give you some rah-rah, whatever. I just think it's really, and I'm talking more about the mental stuff. You can see the stuff on the court, but you just don't know how freshmen are going to react from the toughness factor, how tough to get through certain things when practices are a little bit more of a grind and tougher, when you're not playing as much, when the minutes aren't there. When your role is diminished and you're not quite sure of your role, how do you fight through that? So, and there's no way of telling what a freshman, how they're going to react. And, but as far as on the court, like you just said, it's rare. It's hard to find guys that bring it every day. And I'm not sure what the reason is. It's just a too cool for school vibe that I see way too often now in comparison to 20 years ago. And I don't know if it's, I really don't have the answer, but it's definitely a glaring problem I see in AAU and high school basketball.
Yeah, social media could be part of that, and followers and all that.
Well, yeah, and playing so many games.
Yeah.
They're playing way more games now, particularly in AAU, than they ever have. And I get that to a degree, but Ty Rogers brings it.
Yeah.
And he's got the mindset that he is going to bring that every game, and in multiple ways, offensively, defensively, and show that on a consistent basis.
Well, when Merez Johnson committed, I had to do a double take, Joe, because I remember when I started in this industry and you were already doing this, like Tracy Abrams committed as a sophomore, like Ryan Boatwright committed as an eighth grader. Like it was a commonplace for really young teenagers to make these commitments.
Right.
This is a rarity. And I know I want to get your thoughts on what he is as a player, but what was it? Like, why is this one unique where Illinois was able to close this one down, or Merez just wanted to get this over with?
Well, yeah, like you said, I mean, I think that's gone in cycles as far as, you know, the days of the Jeremy Richmonds,
yeah,
and then Brandon Paul and DJ Richardson, and, you know, those were all pretty early, and then we really did go away from that in recruiting. And I think it's been pretty well documented and publicly so far. When Merez news broke, is his intent was to stay home, and we talked about, you know, being tough and competitive every single game. Well, the whole staying home thing is, you know, I know Illinois fans don't want to hear this. But I think it's gone out the window over the last decade or so. I mean, Merez proves it's still there, but I just, those days of where everybody in Illinois wanted to play at Illinois, that just, it's just not really there anymore. I think that's big part of that is social media, cable television, every game's on TV. You right. can see teams across the country on TV almost any given night. So it's not as if, you know, Illinois and DePaul and those schools are the only ones that you could see every night. So I think that played a big part. And that's not to take anything away from kids that still want to play for their home state. And Merez, you know, he talked about, you know, like his dad, seeing him every game and making that easy trip down to Champaign. So I think that was, you know, the biggest factor in pulling the trigger early, that he found a place he found that was comfortable. and it's what I want, which is to stay home. And I, you know, the question is, do you go, you rewind 3 years, 4 years ago, Illinois struggling, do they get an early commitment from Merez? I don't know. I would guess no, because I think high profile guys are going to want to see that, you know, proof in the pudding, and you know, to commit that early. So, you know, I think their success these last couple of years is resonated with these young players. They see it live. They see it happening. They don't know 2005. They barely know a Darren Williams or a D Brown. So it is very big to have success. And you and I have talked about that very thing in radio shows and podcasts. Illinois had to win. They had to show. And you only have a certain amount. You only have a certain window to do that in.
Yeah.
You know, John Gross won right away, did not win after, and it went away quick. Brad Underwood a little bit different, struggled early on, and now they're winning. And you know, knock on wood, they stay healthy. They should win big again this year.
Yeah, Joe, I want to ask you, too, like, obviously the winning, Brad said, hey, we're starting to be sexy again. And you can certainly see that in this recruiting class, the previous couple ones. But getting Io and having him there in Chicago with the Bulls, like, is there an Io effect? Like, having someone that you can see, that you saw succeed for 3 years here, get developed well, like, has that had an effect at all?
I think it does. I also, man, such a huge part of recruiting, and I would be willing to bet it might be the number one thing, is getting guys to the league and having representation in the NBA. I know the common fan probably doesn't really jive with that, but it's just facts. I mean, it's just what kids talk about. You know, my story I just wrote on Ty Rogers tonight. That's what he said. He believed that Illinois was the school that would best prepare him and get him ready for and specifically said the NBA. And you know, whether Ty Rogers in the NBA, I don't know. You know, but the point is, you know, having a player, you know, Io in the NBA, particularly playing locally, and then you add on the fact of Io, who he is as a person. You know, he's well connected, well liked in the city. He's embraced by the public league, and I think that extends beyond the public league now, because obviously he had started Illinois. So, yeah, it's no question that the success that Io has benefits Illinois. There's no doubt. And Illinois is short on NBA talent. And the more you have, you know, you look at Gonzaga now. I mean, now they, the last decade or so, have been churning out the NBA players. And now all of a sudden, now they are able to get the Suggses and the Holmgrens, guys they weren't really in on even before, even though they had all that success. So, yeah, kids see it. They want to be in the best situation for them to prep them for the pros.
And Joe, Merez Johnson, it's weird to get a scouting report on a sophomore who hasn't even really started his sophomore season yet. But, I mean, obviously a lot of schools like what they've seen already with all the high major offers he has. What does he bring to the court, and how much more do you think he can grow before, you know, 2024 he's putting on an Illini uniform?
Yeah, that what you just said right there at the end is what I get excited about. I just think he has just so much upside left in him. I think a lot's untapped in terms of his development, as you know, and I go to the skill level, because a lot of the intangibles are already there, which sometimes you don't see in young players. That develops over time and maturity. And with Merez, I mean, I was just at in October at the Pangos All-Star Camp, and I remember tweeting about it, just saying, it goes back to what I said about Ty, didn't matter that there was no college coaches in there, didn't matter, it was just ragtag basketball. He was attacking, he was getting on the glass, he was running the floor, he was encouraging even some teammates that he didn't even probably know that were on his team, because they're just thrown together. So that part jumps out at you. But then there's that, you know, he's got the athletic and the physical attributes that are high major. He's 6'8", might still be growing a little bit, could end up a 6'9", versatile hybrid four-man that he'll probably down the road, not right now, but you could probably play him at the five, the four, some three, in time as a skill level develops. So his versatility with those physical attributes and his His, again, I keep going with that toughness, that competitiveness that he brings. All you package that all together, and that's why he was a high major as a freshman. And obviously, Illinois is able to secure that early commitment, even though there was a bunch of, you know, Big Ten high major offers for him early on in his high school career.
Joe, obviously Illinois played pretty well the last couple of years, and as you said, barring injury, they should have a pretty good year this year despite the loss at Marquette. That was pretty ugly with their big man returning here. But they're starting to stack classes, right? Like, we're seeing top five class after top five class in the Big Ten here. And this one with Jaden Epps and Sincere Harris and Ty Rogers, what do you make of what this class could potentially do for Illinois?
Yeah, I mean, I think Epps is a bucket getter. He's a kid that, I don't know if he's. I mean, I've seen not as much of him as Illinois kids, but I'm not sure he's as much of a pure lead guard as you would envision. But he will go get you a bucket, and I just think again, a couple of four star kids here, and then Ty's a four star. So you're getting, like you just said, these classes on top of each other that college coaches always talk about. In particular, you see these different recruiting classes, and it's interesting to watch how many high school kids they're bringing in because of the whole transfer, because of the portal and immediate eligibility. Most schools don't want to lock themselves up with too many high school kids.
Right.
And, I think Illinois is doing right now a nice balance, as well as like balancing out some of the classes, and that's important too to look at. So a lot is to be determined this spring of are we going to, is it going to be just this mass exodus again? I suspect it will be. I think it's going to take 2 or 3 years for this to cycle through for kids and parents and their people to realize, oh crap, I got nowhere to go. I think some saw that initially early on and had to play it out in the spring a little longer than even they anticipated. And I think it's going to take some time for people to realize that it's not going to be as easy as they think finding their next home. But yeah, this class is important, obviously, because you want to keep that ball rolling while your name is hot. I used John Gross as an example earlier, and I'll use Bruce Weber as a prime example of it drying up quickly after that 2005 run when you did not capitalize. And that's why he was out of there within, I think, 3 years. Was it 3 years later, I think? But 4 years. You've got to maximize. You just have to when you're hot. And, I know it would have been a lot better if Illinois had got that Loyola win and advanced to, Elite Eight or Final Four. There's just that much more buzz that goes with it, both locally and nationally. But right now, I mean, they're on the right path to being a tournament team again. And because Illinois, they had some bad luck despite the success. The COVID year, not getting the tournament when they hadn't been in for a while, that was a crusher. Getting upset by Loyola in the Sweet 16, that was crushing. It's not like it was a one and done and, yeah. It's a major rebuild. They're ready to roll again, despite what you said. Man, that Marquette game was awful. I think that's going to be just an anomaly rather than the norm. Yeah. And I think they're poised to have a big year when they get Kofi back and keep that positive mojo going.
I want to ask you, Joe, as somebody who's probably known him for a really long time, Tim Anderson. This is a pretty good month for him on the recruiting trail. Obviously very tied in with the Mean Streets program, which is pretty good right now. I mean, 2024 kids loaded with guys. 2023, we haven't mentioned all the Illinois guys who are now outside of the state, but Illinois is very much in the thick of it with Jeremy Fears and Kylan Boswell, all those guys. But Tim Anderson, what do you think he's brought to Illinois?
Well, I think he's brought what Illinois assistants have always brought, and whether you – think this assistant did a good job or a bad job, or you go back to Gross's staff with Paris Parham and what he tapped into. He tapped into his great relationship with Robert Smith and Simeon and got Kendrick Nunn and was their first recruit, and then added, you can say what you want, DJ Williams, call him a bust, whatever you want, but that's where they went, Jalen Tate. So and then you know, Chin just went to his bread and butter, which was Mack Irvin Fire and Morgan Park, and was able to get Io and Adam Miller, and now we see Tim Anderson a shift here where you know, Mean Streets is loaded. James Brown, the St. Rita teammate, who's, you know, the number one player, 6'9", closing on 6'10", plays with, just left the Fire to go to Mean Streets. So Merez plays with him, you know, full time. I don't know if that'll matter, but the point is, there's a direct link, a direct connection with that program, and Illinois has been able to utilize it. If they're not able to utilize it, you know, whether it be Tracy Webster or Paris Parham or Jarence Howard or Chin or Tim Anderson, then they're that's what they're here for. Mm-hmm. That's why they're getting paid what they're getting paid. So I think it's a big bonus and a big plus at this particular time with Mean Streets.
Yeah. Joe, before I let you go, is Brad right? Is Illinois sexy again?
Yeah, I mean, I think I keep going back to, I mean, I hate to harp on the past and
yeah, I get it.
That loss, it just up here in the Chicago area, it was a killer. I mean, it just, particularly because it was Loyola and Porter Moser, and it just was such a thud, such this great you know, run, one seat, all of that, and then just kind of poof, gone. Yeah. But yeah, I you know, with the IO thing was big for the state, the city, and the success they had with him as the catalyst. They just, you know, again, I just believe, and I think you probably do too, that they're going to be just fine. Yeah. As long as they stay healthy. Big Ten's obviously tough, but it'd be hard to imagine them not being in the NCAA tournament. So that's putting together three straight, you know, kind of headline grabbing seasons where you are in the forefront of college basketball, and call it sexy. Yeah. I mean, I just think I'll say it's more reputation than, yeah, even sexy. They've an identity. They've got that, which they were floundering and not having for quite a few years prior, you know, and I just think that substance of winning in Illinois basketball and knowing what you're going to get when they step on the floor and what you're going to get from season to season is probably more important than being sexy.
That's important. That's well put, Joe. Joe Hendrickson, City Suburban Hoops Report. You can follow him on Twitter at Joe Hoops Report. You can read him in the Sun Times. I do every morning. Get that paper in my driveway, Joe. It's great stuff. Joe, thank you as always, man.
Hey, thanks, Jeremy, for having me.
Joe Hendrickson is the goods. Love having him on. I just think he brings so much insight and so much perspective as well from his time covering both state of Illinois, recruiting, the prep ranks, the AAU ranks, and also Illinois basketball tangentially, because Illinois has been so involved with so many in-state prospects. Some good, some not so good. But Illinois gets kind of back into the in-state recruiting, because I would assume Adam Miller obviously were big wins, but not as much depth in state here recently. And I've talked with Joe about this before, and he kind of hit on it today. I think it's been great that Brad Underwood has not relied on in-state as much, because to be honest with you, there's not as many Power 5 prospects, high major prospects in-state. You still got to get the good ones or get your share of the good ones. Duke's going to come in and get the Jaden Schutes of the world, and, you know, other schools like Gonzaga come in and get Braden Huff. But Illinois was very involved there. There were players for those prospects, and to be able to get somebody like Ty Rogers and Maurice Johnson, now Ty just got into Illinois, but that's still big because it plays in Chicago circles, right? It plays in in-state circles, and to keep them close to where they're from, I think is massive for Illinois. But you don't go all in on them. You know, get Andre Curbelo's, Kofi Coburn's of the world in your program. Coleman Hawkins is, I think we can start putting him into that category. Luke Goody, RJ Melendez, you go where the talent is. But obviously you want to keep as much in-state talent that fits you as possible close to home. And I think that's important too. They got to fit what you want to do. You don't recruit them just because they're in-state prospects. I think Brad Underwood's found a nice balance of all of that. And we'll see if Merez Johnson can help them get a pretty good class of 2024. And then you also look at 2023 and some in-state natives. Kylan Boswell out of Champaign. He's obviously in Arizona now. Jeremy Fears out of Joliet. He goes to the prep school in Indiana, La Lumiere, but obviously still a Joliet native, and that's his home. So to be able to get in on those guys, I think those would be in-state wins as well that we can qualify. So that's what's next for Illinois with its in-state recruiting efforts. Thank you to Joe Hendrickson, as always, for his time and insight, and thank you for listening to the Illini Inquirer podcast. It's been a busy week of these, and we got more. I know I'm throwing a lot of these out there, but there's just so much to talk about this week. Michael Tulip's going to break down Illini Hoops, what he saw in that Marquette game. I'm going to chat with him coming up this week on the podcast as well. And, of course, Joey Wagner and I will be out at Iowa. And then Derek Piper and I will be out at Kansas City for a crazy end this November month. I always apologize to my wife, guys. It is her birthday month, and it is always the busiest month of the year where I'm – not as available as a husband because I'm doing all of this. But just tell her appreciate her and I'll make it up for her. Watch the kids on certain days, trying to figure it out. But man, it's a crazy month. She was just going over the schedule with me. And I don't get too far ahead of this, but I was just looking. I'm going to Iowa. Then I'm going to Kansas City, which is going to be a lot of fun, obviously. And then you go to, you come home, Thanksgiving. Then you got Illinois basketball game. At home against Rio Grande Valley, and then Northwestern football game at home. Then 2 days later, Illinois has their game against Notre Dame in the Big Ten ACC Challenge. I'll breathe in December. I'll sleep in December. But appreciate you guys supporting us along the way. It makes this a lot of fun. What a week it's been, and it's only Thursday or Friday when you're listening to this podcast, so we got a lot left to go. Thank you, as always, for listening to the Illini Inquirer podcast. Give us a follow, a rating, a review. We appreciate whenever you do that. Helps us out. And as always, VIP subscription, VIP membership, just $1 for the first month at Illini Inquirer, or you can get 30% off an entire year. Come join us on the site. It's been a lot of fun. Appreciate everybody that has been a VIP member for so long. Appreciate you guys more than you know. All right, everybody, have a great day. Take care of each other, and we'll talk to you next time on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
New CBS Monday.
Federal agents!
Hands where we can see them!
NCIS Hawaii is back.
About to set it all on fire.
New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violin Island, you got it.
Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10/9 Central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.